filling a pulpit very lightly. This is a difficult thing to do sometimes. Filling the pulpit and speaking to God's people. That was a good song. I appreciate it. He is here. He is here. And I'm going to say something about tonight. You've probably never heard a preacher say, some of you probably shouldn't come tonight. Right? I mean, we all want you to come. But tonight I'm going to preach on an extremely difficult topic, the demonic world. We all face it. And it's something that can tend to bring things in your life when we expose the works of Satan, because he's here working in the world. And by the way, the Lord Jesus is here, but I would say this, and again, I don't mean to scare you or upset you, but there are demons here this morning in these seats. And, it's my understanding and belief there are plenty of demons to go around. So you may have, the maniac at Gadara had 2,000 inside him. And so if you don't think, because the devil can't be everywhere at once, he can't know everything, he's not omnipotent, he's not omnipresent, and so his helpers must report to him. I believe that they watch us every step of the way, looking for weaknesses. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. If that topic scares you, then stay home. But if you're a child of God and you love this book and you're concerned and you want to know how to deal with the devil, then you need to be here. Okay? And that's all I'll say about that. The one song we sing, Send the Gospel Light, this morning I'm going to talk about another gospel. And there is another gospel going around. And when we look at it in the Bible, you're going to say, yep, I recognize that. It's another gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. And we're going to talk about that today and what the Bible says about that. So, if you would, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word and find your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 3. It says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now go down to verse 12, same chapter. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found, even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray this morning that you would put me aside. I'm just a man, tempted to say things I shouldn't say. And I ask you this morning to allow me to say exactly what you want your people to hear this morning, that Jesus Christ be exalted. And that if there is anyone hearing this message, the Word of God today, without Christ, oh Lord, I pray that this morning would be the day of decision for Jesus Christ by the calling of the Holy Spirit and conviction on the heart. We ask in your precious and holy name. Amen. You can be seated. The book of 2 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth, and from the time of the first book to the time Paul wrote the second book, false prophets, false teaching had crept into that church. So 2 Corinthians was really written, you know, Paul said a lot of things about himself, but it was written as a vindication of his apostleship, of his authority, that he was teaching them the true Word of God, and that these other teachers that had crept in unaware, the Bible says, were false. And if you don't think that that's happening today in our churches across America, then you have a veil of blindness over your eyes. You don't understand what the Word of God is trying to tell us. And I would say this, I told the class this morning, I'll repeat it here. Time is short. Very short. You say, preacher, I've been hearing that for years. You have. But we have not seen the signs of the times like we have this year, last year. If you are even halfway intelligent, you've got to understand that there are some things happening that are very critical and shows without a shadow of a doubt that the rapture is imminent. We are, if this is a cliff, we are right here. The door is opening. Jesus is about to step through that door. And my friend, if you go home today and you put your Bible away, and you have your meal, and you go about whatever it is you might do, watching TV or this or that, and you think not on these things, you're in a category of Christian that are miserable, blind, wretched, poor, naked, just like that Laodicean church. That's the category of Christian you are. And I don't know you people individually. I've met and fellowship with some of you, but I don't know you. I do know this, that God has had His hand on this church. And there have been some things happening because of people doing the right thing. But I'd also caution you with this. And I don't mean, you know, this is not in my notes. This is just coming out. But this church is like a lot of other independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches in which 6 or 7% of you do 95% of the Lord's work. Now, I didn't hear very many amens there because you really can't say amen there, can you? Because if you say amen, and that's not one of you, that's not you. The Lord sees your heart. So I would caution you in this short time. Now, and I don't apologize for the book, but this may not be a message that is going to endear me to too many of you. But I preach it anyway because this is what the Lord gave me. I told somebody this last week, I said, just a few days ago, I said, you know, I think I'm going to preach on hell as far as I know on Sunday. That's what I was studying for. And the Lord changed my mind just last night. And this is what He wants me to preach, I believe. Hell is an important topic, believe me. But this is what the Lord wants me to preach, and I'm sure that it's for a reason. And if you'll open your ears, if any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Amen. But not just hear. Hear and do.
Amen.
That's the other part of that. And I'm a member of this church now. And so you're not just my brothers and sisters in Christ. You're part of my family.
Amen.
And so my concern is for you. And I want to see this church be successful spiritually. I'm not talking about the money in the bank. I'm not talking about the success in your own life. Success spiritually. And I want that with all my heart. I want this church to be known in the community. And so, Paul deals with some things in the church at Corinth. False teaching, false gospel, only comes from one of two directions. Number one, it could be ignorance of God's Word. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What's the next phrase? Rightly dividing the word of truth. There are plenty of churches in our country, and we're going to get into detail there, that do not rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says that God's Word is of no private interpretation. And so when you see some of these guys on TV that are saying, you know, send me in some money, we'll pray for you and you'll be healed. I don't know if those men are saved or not. Probably not. They may be in the other category where false teaching comes from, and that is deliberate perversion. They may do it for money. Most of them probably do. You know, some people get into the pastorate because they think, well, I'm gonna be able to live in a parsonage. I'm going to have a good, steady salary and yada, yada, yada. A lot of men get into the... And unfortunately, we have too many pastors in America that were never called to pastor. Never called to pastor. They may have been preachers, but they were not called to pastor. I'm one of those men. As far as I know, the Lord has never called me to pastor a church. I've interim pastored two churches with the understanding that we are actively looking for a pastor. So I've done that very hesitantly. But if a man's not called to pastor, he better not step into the pastorate because he's going to blow that church up. That's the way it works. Turn to 2 Peter in chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. By the way, that's where false teaching stems from, the will of man. And it has, by the way, satanic roots. We're going to look at that. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now look at chapter 2. But there were false teachers also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I don't know. I'm not a guy that claims to understand everything about the Bible, and you better not be either. We can learn something new every time we read this book. But that phrase there, even denying the Lord that bought them, does that say that these were men who were bought and under the blood of Christ that were teaching false heresy? Sure seems to be. So, can false teaching creep into a good church? Absolutely. Absolutely. Deliberate perversion. Go to the book of Galatians. I just want to show you some things. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses. Now, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians because the church at Corinth, after that period of time, had entertained false teachers. The Galatians did the same thing. Look at what it says in verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel. Even after such a short period at that time, false teaching had crept in to that local church. And they were listening to another gospel. Verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven. And by the way, that phrase there, angel from heaven. Paul is going into the absurd now. But that's what he's saying. An angel from heaven may not preach another gospel, but an angel from hell certainly would. Again, something a little scary. I told somebody this week. The Bible says that we entertain angels unaware. Maybe you've encountered one. I know I have. Because of the things that happened afterwards. I believe it was an angel of God. It was in the form of a little old man who was homeless, and I won't go into that story. But my wife, myself, and my son all witnessed it. We believe it was an angel. It looked like a man, a normal man. But it's just as possible and probable that you may have entertained a demon unaware as well. You say, whoa, preacher, you're getting into some spooky things. But I believe it's altogether possible somewhere in your life. Maybe, I know I've encountered those out street preaching. I don't know if you've encountered somebody that comes up to you and just, has that look in their eye. It just looks evil. Many, many times, my partner or whoever has had to pray, person that is either being controlled by an evil spirit, possessed by an evil spirit, or is an evil spirit themselves, to be bound, put away, so that the gospel could go forth. I believe I've met some of those. And so, this word pervert, this is a deliberate act. This is not something that comes by accident. It's not something that comes by ignorance. There are teachers out there that are looking to destroy you as a Christian, as a believer. I promise you that. They're there. Never take this book for granted. How often do we go home, we throw this thing on the couch or on the counter, we don't pick it up until the next service? That should be a shameful thing to us. Should not be named among God's people. This is the very Word of God. The very Word of God. The Bible says this book is quick and powerful. You know what the word quick means? Anybody? Alive. This is a living book. You say, how can that be? It's just pages and words. This is a living book. And when it says powerful, it's very plain. Full of power. The perversions are not so. And what happens is when you encounter a perverted Bible, and I'm not shy to say, and I don't know if anyone here disagrees with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. The King James Bible is the Word of God in English. It's the Word of God in English. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I don't care if people disagree with me. I preach all over the country. And there are many times, especially in the South and in the Southwest, I have gone and been invited to preach in a Southern Baptist church. And I remember one such encounter. It was clear that they did not agree with the King James Bible, that they had something else. And when I said that, it was palpable. People were cringing. Then they, you know, of course they had to open their NIV or whatever it is else they had and try and follow along what I was saying. It don't work too well. But I'm not embarrassed to say that. Just like this book, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Made alive. We're dead. If you're here today, again, I don't know you. If you're here today, there very likely is a person sitting here in the pew today who does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Very well may be. I'm talking to you. You're dead. Spiritually dead. You can be made alive today. You can be made alive in Jesus Christ today. And I would plead with you. If it would work that I would come to your pew and I knew who you were, I would go to your pew and I would get on my hands and knees. And I would tug your garment. Say, please be saved. You folks do not have a vision of hell. You say, oh yeah, I do. It's a lake of fire. It burns. And it's torment. You don't have a vision of hell. Because if you had a vision of hell, a real vision of hell, you would be weeping for your friends, for your loved ones, for the employees that work with you. You would be weeping knowing. We talked about this in class. I talked to the teenagers in class, and I told them, as you go down your hallway at school, I promise you, and this book will bear me out, that most of those other boys and girls that you run into every day are straight on their way to hell. God is no respecter of persons. You might be 11 years old this morning, 12, 13, 14. I guarantee you, you're going to die one day. Unless the Lord comes back very quickly, you're going to die. And by the way, I've seen caskets, little small caskets. You're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says it's appointed once unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. And your day of appointment may be at 13 years old. And I told them, whatever you're going to do for Christ, whatever you're going to do for all eternity, if you're a saved person today, you only have a little while. You don't have long. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, what hinders this? Other gospels. Great hindrance to Christians. There are plenty of churches out there. used to teach the Word of God years and years and years ago. I'm not going to go into naming, you know, each denomination. But 100 years ago, you would have found the gospel in many of those mainline denominations. Today, many of them have fallen into false teaching. And at the risk of saying, oh, we're just exclusive, we're here. By the way, my belief is there are some Catholics out there that are saved. Deluded, but saved. There are some people in other denominations that we would say, oh my goodness, that person can't be saved. But they're confused, drawn away from Bible teaching into false doctrine. There are many people that are saved, absolutely do not live for the Lord. And I would plead with you, live for the Lord. So Paul marveled that the Galatians were so soon removed. How is that possible? Paul had just visited them and brought the glorious gospel. These people lived during a time when they saw all sorts of wonders and things that indicated and proved that Jesus was exactly who He said He was. And so soon removed. So soon removed. We live in a generation that can't tell the difference because it's been infiltrated so much. There's another gospel. There's another Christ out there that's being taught. Yesterday, a few of us went placing those door hangers. It happened there, and it happened a little later in the day. We went street preaching down at whatever that River Fest or something in Detroit was. And I'm sure you guys, Brother Hickey and some of you others that went, I'm sure you experienced some of the same things that I did. You hand a tract, oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. I got the answer. One girl told us, I think, Brother Morris, you were with me. This the one girl said, hey, I've got my own spirituality. I don't need that. I'm good. I'm good to go, is what she said. And she really didn't stop and didn't accept a tract. People are happy with what they're comfortable with. If it fits their life, private interpretation, they make up their own gospel and they're comfortable. We were passing out the door knockers earlier in the day, and one guy came up on was Catholic, and he was as nice and pleasant as could be. And he said, oh, I'd go over here to, I think he called it the Lady of the Woods, evidently a Catholic church. I go over to the Lady of the Woods, and we're saved over there. And I said, well, you know, I tried to urge him to take one anyway, and he took one. But people are comfortable where they are. Jose said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's what's happening today. A couple of simple but vital truths about Jesus you have to confirm to yourself. Number one, Jesus was virgin born. There are many, many people today and many teachers today that say, well, yeah, we believe in Jesus and we believe the Bible and we believe God is who He says He is, but we're not sure about the virgin birth. My friend, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, then He is a liar and this gospel is no good. If Jesus was not born of a virgin. Secondly, Jesus is God. Yes, He's the Son of God, but He is equal to God. And He said, I and the Father are one. He was equal. He wasn't just a created human. If Jesus was human, then we can throw this book away and every one of us can go home to our pot roast. Forget about this. If Jesus was not God. Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no other way. There are many, many, and I get so tired when I hear preachers say, Well, there are a lot of ways to salvation. There are a lot of ways to heaven. And brother, you're traveling your road. I'm traveling mine. And we're all going to get there. Praise God. No, sir. No, sir. There's one way. You look at John 14:6, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by religion, but by coming to church. No. No man cometh unto the Father but by the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you and me. That's not a light thing. That's not a light thing. When Jesus shed His blood, He had you on His mind. Fred, Jesus was thinking about you, hanging on that cross, shedding His blood. He thought about you personally. He just thought about mankind. He thought about you. Had you on His heart. I can't explain how that happened. I accept that by faith. That He knew you. He knew exactly everything about you. And He shed His blood for you personally. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's not a light thing. It's not a light thing. Well, then there are some responsibilities that come with that. Responsibilities to call out. If you hear false doctrine, if you hear me say something that you know is not in this Bible, if you don't stand up in your pew and say, Mr. Veach, Brother Veach, that's not so, you would be slapping the gospel in the face if you did not do that. Do you understand that? What kind of responsibility you have now to learn what the Word of God teaches and to be watchful for false doctrine, because it's going to send some of your loved ones to hell. Some of you have children, siblings, parents, loved ones that are attending this morning, right now. They're attending some church that's teaching false doctrine and you know it. But you've thrown up your hands. I can't do anything about it. I've tried to talk to them. I can't do anything about it. Just like my father-in-law. He's Catholic. Nobody in my wife's family is saved except for her. I've been a failure. That's the way I look at it. I've been a failure. I was a little aggressive and rough about that 15, 16 years ago. And he said, I don't want to hear it. He doesn't even want me to practice my horn in the basement because he can hear it. Now, he's an usher in the Catholic Church. And the priest trusts him so much that his house is where the priest comes over to drink. That's how much he trusts my father-in-law. That's a lot of trust, isn't it? But he's lost as lost can be, 93 years old, ready to go out. I say ready. He's not ready. But he's fixing. That's a southern term. He's fixing to go out into eternity, lost. I talked to my wife about that. And it comes to a point sometimes that she says, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to think about Daddy in hell. I say, your daddy's going to burn in hell if he doesn't accept Christ. You're going to burn in hell. My wife may be the only thing that he may listen to now. He won't listen to me. He won't listen to me. Do you have any loved ones on their way to hell? You better get on the phone. You better get over there. And you better plead with them one more time. Time is short. And when that day comes that they close their eyes in death, the Old Testament says, we're watchmen. We have blood on our hands if we blow not the trumpet. Do you have blood on your hands? Will you have blood on your hands? I pray not. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There ain't nothing. There's no amount of beads. There's no amount of of good works. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of praying a person out of purgatory. It's going to make your way to heaven. My father-in-law is still paying low mass. Anyone in here used to be Catholic? You used to be Catholic, right? When your relative or loved one dies, you have a choice. High mass or low mass? My mother-in-law died in 1996. Now, I do know this. I said no living person was saved in my wife's family. 2 days before my mother-in-law died, I was able to go to her hospital room and lead her to the Lord. She prayed. Now, I don't know her heart, but she prayed and it sounded sincere. And so, 2 days later, we're all gathering around Mama. Chest in and out, breathing. It's getting slower and slower. Then she took that final breath, breathed out. She was gone. She was in eternity. The relatives around the bed began to weep and wail. And in my heart, I pictured her going right up. And then we sat in a counseling room. The priest came in and did his thing and, you know, all of his counseling and comfort. Then when he left, I did something that didn't endear the family to me. I said, Mama's in heaven. And they looked at me. I said, just a couple days ago I came in here and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Whew. If you've been Catholic, you know what I just did. I didn't realize it. They hit the ceiling. How dare you? How dare you change the religion? How? And boy, they raked me over the coals, didn't speak to me for a number of years after that. Didn't change the fact that she's in heaven. And so I absorbed that punishment from her family. And it did damage my relationship with them. But that's just the way it was. You know, I counted it much better to see her saved and to receive that. And you know something? If you fail to tell somebody that you know is lost, especially somebody in your family, the grief in your heart is going to be great. You know, the Bible says there are no tears in heaven, but chronologically, that happens at the end of the millennial period, 1,000 years. That's when no more tears in heaven. Can you imagine for 1,000 years, in my mind, thinking about my dear father-in-law? I love him like a father. Spending that 1,000 years knowing the torture and the burning, the agony that he's going through. And then being hauled up out of hell at the great white throne judgment and standing there, and we will be at the great white throne judgment, standing there and seeing my father-in-law face the God of the universe. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. My loved one. Seeing him cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. There are two deaths for the lost. That physical death, 1,000+ years in hell, and then hell being done away with and cast into a worse place called the lake of fire. Those are two different places. We sometimes speak of them as one. They're two different places. And that's a place where there is no escape from. No escape. You see, hell, there's an escape from hell. Did you know that? The lost will escape hell when they stand before God. But there's no escape from the lake of fire. No escape. And so there are many false gospels that exist. I just want to cover a couple of them. And you every one of you probably know some of these. In the year about 200 AD, the Gnostic Gospels were written about this time. Included in the Gnostic Gospels were the passages that claimed Jesus got married and had children and somehow lived to a ripe old age. Gnostic Gospels. I'm not totally familiar with them because you're like a bank teller. Bank teller doesn't study false bills. Bank teller studies the real thing. So they can recognize when a fake bill comes across. Every jot and tittle is inspired in the Word of God. Muhammad. You know who Muhammad was, right? Muhammad was a caravan raider, a thief, who killed, robbed. Muhammad claimed that this angel in a cave gave him the Quran. Well, Muhammad was also a pedophile. How many knew that? He was a pedophile. Did you know that Muhammad had over 20 wives? Most of them were young girls. The youngest, Aisha, was 6 years old. Six. And the marriage was consummated when she was 9 years old. And he had a number of wives who were 10, 11, 12, he being 50, 55. And so the Prophet of Allah was a pedophile, a murderer, a hater of Jews. False gospel. Joseph Smith claimed to receive those golden plates from an angel that identified himself. And you know something? I don't doubt that Joseph Smith saw an angel. The angel's name was Moroni. I just take the I off of that. Moron. But that angel was very likely, unless it was, you know, the figment of his imagination or he made it up, that angel was a demon. No angel of God would help start a false gospel. Jehovah's Witnesses. Did you know that they're a pretty late addition to religion? Back in the 1870s. Not that long ago. Not that long ago, Charles Russell began teaching. And it progressed from there. And the Watchtower, I think, started somewhere around 1945 or whatever it was. False gospel. Today, there are many tentacles of false gospel and private interpretation. They're out here. They're right down the street. They're right down the street. You don't have to go far. You can walk. You can walk from this church to a church that preaches false doctrine, if that's what you want to get into. They line the street down here. I've seen them. And so private interpretation. Turn to the book of Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. Many of you know exactly what two verses I'm going to read. This is near the end of the Bible. When John completed the revelation of Jesus Christ, God closed the book. God closed the book. Anything that was written after this period by the hand of man is a false gospel. It's a false gospel. Revelation chapter 22. And here's God's judgment. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. A lot of plagues written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book, of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God's not playing around, folks. God's not playing around. If you play around with the gospel of Christ, you know what the gospel of Christ is. If you play around, there's going to come a day of accounting. And you cannot avoid it. Again, I told our young people and our class, sure as I'm standing right here, sure as you're sitting in your pew, every one of us is going to stand before a holy God all by ourselves. Teenager, it doesn't matter how young you are. If Jesus comes back today, whatever age you are, you're accountable. If you know right from wrong and you know that you're a sinner and you know that you do bad things, it's your responsibility to accept or reject Jesus Christ. We will stand before a holy God. I don't even like to talk about it because, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. It terrifies me. Paul was able to say, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I don't know that I could honestly say that. You know why? Because I continue to fail. I continue to get sidetracked on other things. I can walk just as easily, Brother Hickey, down the road today, Walmart, and the Holy Spirit says, and I'll have tracks with me. You need to stop and talk to that person. I can walk right past that person with the best of you. Just being honest. I can do it. I know you can do it. Because we do it every day. We do it every day. All of these false gospels have an origin in Satanism. They're satanic. It just occurred to me. Somebody tell me what time it is. 12:10. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up. I know my friend, our pastor, wouldn't care. He just goes and preaches. And I love that about him. He just goes and preaches. So am I. But I love what he says. In conclusion, I say, okay, it's going to be 30 minutes. Okay. 30 minutes from now, in conclusion. And we're recording this, right? So he will be listening. He will listen to this. But I love my friend. And folks, I know sometimes he preaches hard. But I know sometimes you're tempted to complain. But you need to get behind your pastor. You need to get behind him. Now, this church is scheduled for revival meetings in August, right? Revival meetings today, anyway, seem to have a set direction. A few days before revival, people get excited. Hey, and then during revival, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, great, brother. 2 weeks later. Where's my Bible? You see my Bible? I don't know where it's at. That should not be named among the people of God. But that's the direction that most revivals in good churches, I'm not talking about other churches, I'm talking about Bible-believing, fundamental, independent churches today. As we have that mentality, okay, our revival is going to be during this week, let's get prepared, all right. And 2 weeks later, it seems to go out the door. Why is that? Because we get encumbered with the things of this world. We start to understand that that's not norm. You know, if you go back to work all excited and carry your Bible, you say, man, I'm excited. Man, that was a great revival. And you carry your Bible to work. And man, for a couple of days, it's just great. About a week later, you start to notice the other employees. Buddy, you going off the deep end? Well, bless God, I'm gonna keep my Bible at work. There it is. I want to keep it there. Brother, what's that lump under there? Yeah, that's my lunch. Eventually, we get right back to the same old things. That does not please God. Does not please God. I'm going to simply say this, and
Lord willing, will close. The New Age movement is an age, we see it all around us, but if you put a word on it, it is universalism. This is the Antichrist. Because when the Antichrist comes, they're going to want to embrace everybody that's left. Whether you're Lutheran or Methodist or Catholic or Baptist, and there will be Baptists. Whether you're anything, we embrace all religions. Notice how society accepts Islam. Don't say anything bad about Islam. Sodomites, wickedness, our society kind of tolerates that. The only thing that they do not tolerate is the God of this Bible. This is what they hate. They hate the God that you claim to worship. Why? Because there's another gospel. It's prevalent. And it's growing exponentially. It's out there. And this is what we're going to be faced. Every one of us. I used to say, and I still say sometimes, if the Lord tarries His coming, well, we need to do this or that. The Lord's not going to tarry His coming. Because that day, that hour, that minute, that second is already written down. It's already there. There is no tarrying. From our perspective, there might be. You know? He may come this day, he may come that day, he may come some other time. There's no tarry with God. But as long as we have, my plea with you is to get serious about the Word of God. Amen. Even the church at Laodicea, God said to them, I chasten those that I love. That was directed at that backslidden church. God loves you. Amen. God loves you. And He wants the truth to be proclaimed from this place, this local body of believers, so that those down the street and those yonder in the city can say, you know what? There's something odd about that church. They're real peculiar people. There's something really strange going on there. And you know, the Spirit of God will draw those that are to be drawn. You know, nobody can be saved without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that someone just decides to do one day. You know what? I've heard a lot of Bible. I think I'm going to get saved today. Yes, let's go forward, brother, and let's get saved, you and me. That's not the way it works. People don't quite understand that. The Holy Spirit of God draws men unto Himself. People, let's be a part of that. Be a part of that. Let's pray.